Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bill Stern with a Colgate Sports Newsreel.
Bill Stern, the Colgate Safety Man, is on the air. Bill Stern, the Colgate Safety Man, the story's rare. Take his advice and you'll again, you get a shade that's smooth until you be a Colgate Shave Cream fan.
The 488th edition of the Colgate Shave Cream Sports Newsreel, featuring America's most famous collector of yarns and stories, some legend, some hearsay, but also interesting, we'd like to pass them along to you. And to do this, here's radio's number one sports reporter, Mr. Bill Stern.
Good evening. Our guest tonight is the famous movie star, Zachary Scott. But before you meet Zachary Scott in person, here is Reel One, profile of two great sports stars. This is the strange and incredible story of two great sports stars. But wait. First, let me tell you the amazing story of one of these two sports stars. For the first of these two sports stars is a girl. A girl named Arlene Atwater. Arlene Atwater was born in the little town of Roselle, New Jersey. And from the time she was old enough, Arlene was trained to become a swimming star. Therefore, Arlene began taking swimming lessons at the YMCA. For at the YMCA, a coach offered to train her. At first, like all beginners, Arlene found the going hard. But very soon, she began to perfect her stroke. And she began to swim well. In fact, she did so well that old-timers shook their heads in amazement. For Arlene is such an unusual swimmer that swimming instructors from all over the eastern part of the United States are amazed at her ability. And that's the story. The story of a girl who experts say will become an American swimming champion and who they say will make the United States Olympic swimming team. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's one more thing you might like to know. Might like to know that Arlene Atwood, this girl who swims so well today, is a fine swimmer despite the fact she weighs only 23 pounds and is 9 months old. And here in person is the baby's mother, Mrs. Harold Atwater.
Thank you, Bill Stern. It's true that my daughter Arlene does weigh only 23 pounds and is only 9 months old. Yet she does take swimming lessons twice a week at the YMCA pool. We think it's good for her. She really likes it. And if she can do this well in the water now, we hope that by the time she is grown up, she will be a real swimming champion. At any rate, if anyone tells you that a little girl of 9 months cannot swim, you tell them my daughter does.
Thank you, Mrs. Atwater. But ladies and gentlemen, you remember I said that this was the story of two athletes? Well, you've only heard the story of the first one, a 23-pound, 9-month-old baby girl who's a swimmer. But the story of the second athlete is just as strange. The second athlete's a boy named Bill Mazenkamp. Bill Mazenkamp was born in Dundalk, Maryland, and like the little baby girl swimmer, Bill Mazenkamp also is making sport headlines at a YMCA. For last year, Bill Mazenkamp went out for the YMCA baseball team. Not only went out for it, but before last year was over, Bill was playing right field. He batted 365 in 14 games to lead his team to the league championship. Bill Mazenkamp had become a great baseball player. That was only the start. This past winter, Bill went out for basketball. Once again, he led his team to a championship, single-handedly scoring 42 points in 18 games. Yeah, Bill is a great athlete. So great that his mother recently said of him,
"They told me my son Bill would never be a great athlete. But Bill has proven that they were wrong. He just refused to believe that he couldn't be. And he proved that he was right. For today, he's a wonderful athlete. And I'm proud of my son, Bill. What mother wouldn't be?"
Mrs. Mazenkamp has every right to be proud of her son, Bill. Not only is he a great basketball player and a great baseball player, having led both teams to the championship, but he plays both of these sports beautifully, despite the fact that he has only one hand, one leg. And here he is in person, Bill Mazenkamp.
I do play basketball and baseball, even though I have only one hand and one leg. It was hard in the beginning, but I was determined to prove it could be done. And now that I've done it, I know this. If I can play baseball and basketball, despite the fact that I have only one hand and one leg, So can others, and I hope they'll try.
Thank you, Bill Mazenkut. Thank you very much. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the story of two great sportsmen. One a baseball and a basketball champion who has only one hand and one leg, and the other a little girl swimmer who weighs only 23 pounds and is only 9 months old. Portrait of two strange athletes. Reel 2, Profile of a Track Star from Texas. We've just told you the stories of an incredible swimmer and an incredible baseball player. But this is the story of a great track star who came out of the University of Texas, an athlete who raced in the 100 and the 220-yard dashes at the University of Texas. An athlete who blazed his way to Texas glory in the relays. But perhaps it was not unusual for this boy to set records in track, for almost from the very day of his birth, he seemed destined to live a strange, incredible life of adventure. Listen to his amazing story. At the age of 3, this youngster was entertaining in Biloxi, Mississippi by performing athletic calisthenics. At the age of 5, believe it or not, he was the pilot of a steamboat on the Mississippi River. At the age of 12, he drove a fire engine through the crowded streets of Washington, D.C. At the age of 17, he was setting records in the 100 and 220-yard dashes. At the age of 20, he sailed for England, only to have one of his buddies stabbed to death. At the age of 24, he was in an auto accident in which his jaw was broken. After his jaw was broken, they took him to a hospital. And in the hospital, his nurse said,
"With a broken jaw like that, he'll never talk again."
But this young man did talk again. In fact, he talked his way into fame. For today, you know him as one of the great stars of the movies. And here he is in person, the famous Warner Brothers picture star, Zachary Scott.
Thank you, Bill. It was interesting hearing you relive my life for me. And ladies and gentlemen, as incredible as some of those things may have sounded, all of them actually happened to me. At the age of 3, I did entertain the naval students at Biloxi, Mississippi. When I was only 5 years old, the pilot of a Mississippi steamboat did let me steer it for a while. When I was 12 years old, the greatest thrill of my life was riding through the streets of Washington, D.C. on a fire engine. When I was 20, I took a job on a tramp steamer sailing for London, England. And during the trip, another sailor who was working on the boat with me was stabbed to death. Still later, I did wind up in a hospital after an automobile crash with a broken jaw. And athletically speaking, I ran both the 100 and the 220 at the University of Texas. But speaking of sports, the most athletic member of my family was my great-great-great-great-grandfather. He was a fine horseman, a fine wrestler and boxer. But he was best known as the pistol champion of America during the American Revolution. Yet today, he's not remembered for his athletic ability, but he will never be forgotten in history. Because, you see, he married the sister of George Washington. Oh, but Bill, speaking of George Washington, one of the most incredible sports stories of all time is the story of George Washington's influence on a Frenchman named Pierre Beaumarchais. Do you know the story, Bill?
Yes, Zach, I think I do. Pierre Beaumarchais was a Frenchman. He, too, was a pistol champion. He was the pistol champion of France and the leading swordsman of the French Empire. Pierre Beaumarchais lived during the French Revolution. And, as you say, because of Washington's influence, he became friendly toward the American colonies. In fact, he was so friendly towards America that he turned his friendship into active help. Pierre Beaumarchais outfitted a fleet of 40 ships to bring arms to America. Pierre Beaumarchais gave America 3,800,000 francs of his own money to help win the Battle of Saratoga, the turning point of the war. Perhaps the most important thing that Pierre Beaumarchais did for America was to introduce two people to each other. Two people who developed a great friendship. A friendship that was to come to mean a great deal to the new American Republic. For one of these two people was America's first ambassador to France, Benjamin Franklin, and the other was the Queen of France, Marie Antoinette. But the strangest part of this story is that Pierre Beaumarchais is not remembered because he was the pistol champion of America, nor because he outfitted 40 ships to aid the American Revolution, nor because he gave 3,800,000 francs of his own money to help America, nor even because he introduced Benjamin Franklin to Marie Antoinette. No, Pierre Beaumarchais is not remembered for anything. But he can never be forgotten. No, he can never be forgotten as the man who wrote a great opera, the opera was Rossini's The Barbara of Seville, from which came the immortal aria, Figaro.
Margo, Cotone, Bella Città, Margo. Figaro, 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 la 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 la. Figaro.
But wait a minute, wait a minute. That's not the end of this incredible story. For by writing The Barber of Seville, Pierre Beaumarchais did more than merely write a great opera. It was Napoleon himself who said, Pierre Beaumarchais' opera, The Barber of Seville, is the spark that ignited the flames of the French Revolution. The revolution that dethroned the king, that dethroned the king and made France a republic, made France into a republic, and gave the French people a new national anthem, the Marseillaise.
Marchon! Marchon!
Help win one revolution, start another.
To victory or death.
I'll be back in just a moment, but first here's Reel 4, Arthur Gary.
Don't blame your razor if your shaves aren't smooth, close, or comfortable enough. If your razor scrapes and leaves your face doubly and irritated, just try Colgate Lather Shaving Cream. Colgate lather is light and fine textured, crowds down around each bristle and softens it up fast. Yes, sir, Colgate lather soaks stiff, wiry whiskers so soft, the very touch of your razor zips them off clean and smooth.
What's more, Colgate lather is long-lasting. Rich, small bubbles stay moist throughout your shave. Colgate lather doesn't dry out, doesn't drag or pull the blade. The result is that you've got a face-happy shave, a close and a comfortable shave. See what a difference the right shave cream can make to your face. Try the light cream. Colgate Lather Shaving Cream. The shave cream of champions. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the 3-0 mark for tonight. Next Friday night, we'll be back same time, same stations, when our guest will be the famous orchestra leader, Mr. Paul Whiteman. See you then. And until then, I'll be seeing you on the screen in the news of the day newsreels at your favorite Lowe's or Associated Theaters. Now, until next Friday night at this very same time, this is Bill Stern wishing you all a good, good night.
Bill Stern, the Corker Shaping Man, is on his way. Bill Stern, the Corker Shaping Man, had lots to say. He tore the chance, sports heroes, the inside dope, he really knows. So listen in the Friday night. C-O-L-G-A-T-E.
Zachary Scott appeared on this program tonight, courtesy of Warner Brothers. He will shortly be seen starring in his latest picture, South of St. Louis. Tomorrow night over NBC, hear Colgate's Hour of Fun, hilarious Judy Canova, followed immediately by A Day in the Life of Dennis Day. The Bill Stern Show tonight came from New York City.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.